listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams and start getting to a healthier weight so you can get on with your life. If you want to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is weighing on you, what is on your mind. So last week, I started to talk about ways to cope with the stress of life in ways that have nothing to do with food. So there are two ways to deal with feelings. We talk about emotional eating. It's more than that, but today we're talking about emotional eating. So two ways to deal with feelings, with emotions. One is to distract from them, and that's what emotional eating is. It's a distraction from what you are feeling. So it's stress eating. You're stressed. You're eating to relieve it. Comfort eating. You need comfort. You're eating to, you know, comfort yourself. Or it's a distraction from feeling the icky, yucky, awful feeling you don't want to feel. And the other way to deal with feelings is to actually feel and express them. You can't stuff them down. You can't let them go. You can't positive think them away. There is only one way to get rid of feelings, and that is to actually experience them, to feel them, to process them. So how do you do that? Well, one way to feel your feelings or to express your feelings is to get into the creative zone. Being creative actually has huge psychological and physiological benefits. The American Journal of Public Health published a review called The Connection Between Art, Healing, and Public Health. They analyzed more than 100 studies about the connection between creativity and health. So when you're creative, when you're expressing something internal in art or in dance or in whatever way that suits you, that feels right to you, it decreases negative emotions and it increases positive ones. It reduces depression, stress, and anxiety, and it improves self-esteem. That's a lot for just being creative, right? So creativity, why does it do it? Creativity puts you in a different state of mind. Binges also put you in kind of a different state of mind. People always talk about kind of being in that zone, you know, their emotional eating, and suddenly it's like they wake up and realize they've been just like not even in their bodies, and they've just been automatically eating whatever in this zone where they're not feeling anything. And if you can relate to that, how about let's switch that from the food zone or the binge zone or the stress eating zone to the creativity zone. So think of being creative as a way of journaling with images instead of words. So here's some ideas. Here, just give them a try. Draw your feelings. What color are your feelings? Are feelings jagged or soft? Are they swirly or are they just big dark lines? What does anger look like? What about sadness? What about happiness? And here's another, a funny one that is recommended, actually recommended, there's a study on this, that if you draw with your non-dominant hand, so if you're right-handed, try using your left hand to draw or vice versa, studies actually show that using the non-dominant hand in creative activities connect the parts of your brain in a new way. I'm rushing because I have a caller. So, hi caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. How are you? Nice to hear from you.
Thanks. Nice to speak with you. I wanted to ask about a couple things today. The first thing is dairy. I feel like I eat a lot of dairy and sometimes like binge on dairy. I like love it. I love cheese. I love yogurt. And I heard that dairy causes a lot of inflammation. So I just wanted to ask an expert. what your thoughts are on dairy, and then I wanted to ask about alcohol as well, but maybe we could do one at a time.
Well, I mean, I can't give a medical doctor advice about that, but there's a lot. Some people have dairy issues and some people don't. Some people can have dairy without a problem. Other people can't. Some people can have gluten without a problem. Other people can't. So I think there's no one size fits all kind of solution. Like, you can't say, oh, dairy is bad. Blanket. It might be bad for some people for reasons that are specific to them, but not to. But it's not bad per se for everyone.
Okay. So if you can handle it, it's okay in moderation.
Yes. Everything is okay in moderation.
I know. I kind of already knew the answer, like, to my own question, but I needed you to verify it.
I'm predictable now. Uh-oh.
No, not predictable. I just, like, know everything in moderation. Like, be intuitive. Listen to your body. You've taught me well, Dr. Nina.
Oh, you're a good listener.
Our Wednesday questions. And then how about alcohol? Would you say that's the same thing? Because I was talking to somebody who's lost a lot of weight, and she said that she just avoided alcohol because, like, obviously it's bad for you, and also, like, she ends up consuming more when she drinks, and I feel like that kind of happens to me too. But do you think it's something that should be avoided completely altogether?
Well, again, if you it's about moderation, right? Alcohol can be calorie dense. So if people are drinking a lot, then all those calories really add up. So, but again, there's a difference between use and abuse. There's a difference between having like a glass or two of wine with dinner, whatever, and like drinking half a bottle a night or a bottle a night or having, you know, margaritas or martinis or whatever. So I think that the danger with not having it at all is then it makes you, of course, want it more. So,
oh, yeah, the anticipation of deprivation that you were talking about. Yes. Well, you talk to me about every week when I call.
Yes, yes. And clearly you are hearing me, Nicole, the anticipation of deprivation. So, I mean, the key is really moderation, because when you have everything in moderation, whether it is peanut butter or wine or drinks or whatever it is you're talking about, then you never get to the point where you binge or overdo it or overeat. You just eat till you're comfortable, and then that's it.
Yeah. I actually had a day of I think it was Sunday, where I started my morning like quote unquote bad. I like ate bread, so then the whole rest of the day I like did an exact example of what I shouldn't have done, because I like deprive myself of like stuff all the time. I ended up just like consuming carbs all day. I think I consumed more carbs on Sunday than I've consumed the entire month.
Right, because you because you thought that you started the day off and by being bad by eating bread. Right. Where do you get the idea that eating bread is bad? By the way, I will say people always ask me what I eat. I'm like, every single day I eat toast for breakfast. Every day, with butter or peanut butter or something.
Okay.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And you're so fit.
Because bread isn't bad.
Why do I think bread is bad? Because, how do I change that in my head?
Well, you just keep listening. You got to like internalize my voice a little bit instead of all the voices of, you know, diets over, you know, bread is bad, fat, and it always changes, right? It's carbs are bad, fat is bad. Oh no, fat is good. Carbs are bad. Every few years it's the opposite.
But I have a question. When I actually do eat bread or chocolate or like frozen yogurt or like something that is bad, I don't know if it's psychological, but the next day I do feel puffy. Like it does make me puff. Like it does make me not feel well.
Well, but how much are you eating? I mean, are you just having like one or two pieces of bread? like, because if you eat something in moderation, it won't make you puffy. If you eat anything, too much of anything, it might make you puffy.
Yeah. Right. I think you have a point. I think I start off not overdoing it, but then I feel bad about eating the one or two pieces of bread, and then I end up eating other stuff, and then I end up puffy the next day.
So. Exactly. Right. It's like, oh, I had bread, so I might as well, the day is ruined, I might as well,
finish the chocolate bar in the other room.
Exactly. Exactly. Where,
okay,
if you did not have this idea that bread was bad, or that even chocolate was bad, you just say, yeah, okay, I had breakfast. You know, what do I want for lunch? What do I feel like? Because
yeah,
then you're eating from an intuitive place. And when you think about right, what you should have, what a diet say, what this, you know, this diet expert says, what that diet expert says, eat this, not that, then you're losing touch with what's internal. And you're imposing something external on what you should eat, where really you know from an internal yeah, place.
Yeah. I think I've made some things like off limit for myself just to like protect myself, but I guess that's wrong. I don't know.
It's wrong.
I'm like,
it's wrong. Wait a minute. Yeah. It's wrong. Yes.
I think I'm clearly like so messed up. My head needs to be like reprogrammed.
Well, and that's what we're doing, right? That's what I'm here to help everyone, yeah, you and everyone listening, kind of reprogram the way that you think. Because what's bad is not bread or chocolate or whatever you think you shouldn't be eating. What's bad is having this mentality of deprivation and then feeling bad about yourself because you ate something that's on your bad list. And then if you don't know how to comfort yourself, you're liable to, you know, some people, maybe not you, but people are liable to comfort themselves with food. So it's this vicious cycle. If we just take away the idea that something is bad in the first place, then you won't feel bad about yourself.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks. I can work on that. I guess I already know the answer to my next question because I was going to ask you about intermittent fasting.
Oh, I think you do know. I think you know.
You're going to say no. If you're hungry, you should eat.
it's like you're in my mind, Nicole. It's like you're right there with me. Exactly. Exactly. What is fasting?
Fasting is planned starvation. I like worked out with this trainer and he told me, what's the difference between starving yourself and fasting? Fasting, you know when you're going to break it. It's like it's planned starvation.
Right. You know,
I'm laughing while I'm saying this because I sound so ridiculous.
You know what planned deprivation is? The time between breakfast and lunch and lunch and dinner. That's all you need. That's all the planned deprivation you need. And if you get hungry, yes, you should have something. But yeah, I mean, okay, look, all of these diets are designed to distract you from you.
Yeah. I just feel like I have 5 pounds I want to lose, like the last 5 pounds. And I just feel like it's so difficult to achieve that. And I feel like the only way to do that is by taking extreme measures, like cutting out bread, like cutting out chocolate, like, being strict with myself. But I guess that's not working. When I'm strict for a few days, it does work.
But yes, it works as long as you're strict, but you cannot maintain that. Right, you can't maintain that level of deprivation. So that's why, look, diets work until you go off them. All diets work. Intermittent fasting, absolutely, that's gonna work. Anything's gonna work. Keto's gonna work. Paleo's gonna work. Whatever. And I think a large part of why keto and paleo work is that people have permission to have things that they wouldn't otherwise have on other diets. But that's a whole other story. So they work, but it's not sustainable. So
right,
you know, better to...
So how do I lose the last 5 pounds? Is that a different conversation?
The other... Well, we're talking now. Might as well keep talking. Look, the other thing about dieting is they mess with your metabolism. So when you restrict calories, your metabolism slows, which means your body goes, whoa, fewer calories coming in, better get more efficient. So now your body needs fewer calories to do what it used to do on more calories. So then when you start eating in a more normal way, then all those excess calories go right to, you know, wherever it is, your hips or your stomach or whatever it is, that the place that you don't want them to go. So that's the other reason why diets are bad, because they metabolically set you up to gain weight.
So what if you're already metabolically screwed?
Well, the good news is you're not. The good news is that you can change, right? It's not like you're stuck there forever. And that's why, like, if you go to a dietitian, they'll tell you eat something every 2 or 3 hours. That keeps your metabolism revved up.
Okay.
So you're not screwed forever. You're not stuck there. You can rev up your metabolism. And I would say if you want to lose that last 5 pounds, do it by, you know, eating more often and maybe exercising. You want to
I exercise every day.
And maybe a different kind of exercise.
Okay, yeah, maybe I can switch that up. If I'm just doing cardio, okay.
Yes,
that makes sense.
And it's very important for women. Here's another way that you can rev up your metabolism: strength training. Because strength training builds muscle. Now, that shows up on the scale as you're heavier. However, you can gain weight on the scale, which is why I say get rid of your scale. Do not get on that scale. But you can actually be smaller, because muscle, it weighs more than fat. So you could be smaller physically, but weigh more. And here's the good part when it comes to metabolic function. Now that word is just so fun to say, metabolic. when you have muscle requires more calories to maintain itself. So when you do strength training and you gain muscle, you also make your metabolism better.
I see. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. So I started doing Pilates and stuff a little bit. I know that's kind of strength training.
That's good.
So maybe I just do more of that. Yeah.
And weights. I think weights are really good, especially for women. It's good to do weights. Like, not crazy weights. Just you know, do some arm things and some, what do you call, flies.
So I haven't had breakfast yet, and I'm hungry. I'm trying to do this intermittent fasting thing, but, like, forget it.
Wait, I got to do this again.
Okay. So what's it called? So I think I should eat an egg because an egg is healthy.
Do you feel like you need protein? See, this is where it's like, okay, what do you feel like? Like, what does your body feel like? Don't eat it because it's healthy. Eat it because, like, like, sometimes you want an egg and sometimes you want toast, or sometimes you want cereal, or sometimes you want, you know, something completely different. So think about what are you hungry for? Not what is healthy or what should you not have.
Okay. That's a good question. I mean, I can go for an egg.
Okay. Go for
it. Maybe I'll eat an egg.
An egg or 2 eggs would not be a bad thing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Nina.
You are so welcome. Go eat breakfast.
Okay. I'm going to listen to your show while I eat breakfast.
Okay.
You.
Awesome. You're so welcome. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yeah. This good food, bad food thing, it just messes you up, because then you feel good about yourself when you feel virtuous because you ate you know, sushi or sashimi and didn't have rice and whatever. And then you feel bad about yourself if you have pizza. And then you feel bad about your actual self, not just bad that you ate something you think you shouldn't eat. Big deal. Now you feel bad about yourself. That's called shame. And shame is really hard to lose. So we want to de-shame this process. Okay, back to my list of how to express your feelings in ways other than with food. How are we doing on time? Oh, we have lots of time. Okay, so like I was saying, there are studies that show using the non-dominant hand in creative activities connects the different parts of your brain in a new way and makes feelings and intuition, which is a big one, more available to you. Interesting. Okay, the next way to express yourself is to doodle. Doodling is a form of creativity that allows us to visually express our emotions in ways that maybe are difficult to process. So science tells us that, quote, doodling can help us process emotions, leaving us feeling better about our lives and who we are. Many also simply find the act of doodling to be calming. Okay, just really quick, funny doodling story. When I was a kid, I lived in England, and I was in this very progressive modern school in California, and I dressed however. We sat on couches. We called our teacher by their first name, you know, whatever. And I go to the school in England where, you know, it's like uniforms, and like you stand up when the teacher comes in. It's very formal. And so one day, this really boring teacher was talking about something, and I am doodling, which in my progressive school was like, excellent form of creativity and self-expression, go for it. So the teacher just stops. I look up, she looks down, and she says, Nina, are you doodling? Like I was committing a crime. And I said, yeah. She told me to go stand in the corner because that was not allowed. And I said, no. So I got sent to the headmaster. It was a whole big thing. I almost got kicked out of school for doodling. All right, that's my doodling story. And by the way, I never stopped doodling because I have a problem with authority. I think it's true. All right, another way to express yourself, make a collage. Like other forms of art, collaging puts you in touch with your inner world. It can be a way of imagining what your ideal life would be like. It's a way of expressing what you're feeling. It's used as a therapy technique in art therapy to help you process depression and anxiety. Because, you know, if you're going through magazines or you're going through something and you're thinking about what's going on inside and what are the words or what are the images that are going to best express your internal world, it's active, you're doing something, and you're processing what you're feeling, you know, as you're doing it. Another thing to get rid of feelings, but this is only the physical part of the feeling, which is take a boxing class or some kind of really vigorous exercise class. So thinking about feelings is sort of a cerebral cognitive activity. It doesn't actually express it. Like, you know, it's different. There's a big difference between saying, you know, I'm very angry about that, and I am so pissed. So crying, screaming, yelling, those are all physical manifestations of emotional release. And when it comes to anger, it is good to express your emotions physically in a safe way, as well as with words. So boxing, kickboxing, that can be a very satisfying way to release your anger. You know, when you're just punching some bag or someone who's holding a bag and thinking about who really is pissing you off, boy, that is satisfying. Oh, here's another one. Destroy your bathroom scale. Totally awesome thing to do. I have a YouTube video where I go to town on my bathroom scale. It's called Smash the Scale. I suggest you smash your scale, take a hammer, and just destroy it, because that piece of metal and plastic is dictating the way you feel about yourself. No. No, 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 no. Not okay. Smash your scale. You will feel better. And it is a way of getting out the aggression of your anger. Okay, so those are some ways that you can express your feelings other than eating. So the other way to deal with feelings is to distract from them. Eating, binge eating, emotional eating, stress eating, those are all distractions from your feelings. this is funny, someone in my private Facebook group, if you're not in it, you can feel free to join. It's called Dr. Nina's Food for Thought Community. She shared that her previous therapist had, she's not someone that I'm seeing, it was just her previous therapist. Her therapist advised her to brush her teeth whenever she felt like binging. And she was like, when I want to eat, I should do what? I should brush my teeth? Like, the idea behind this was that a nice, clean, fresh mouth would feel so wonderful that she wouldn't want to eat anything and mess that up. Well, that was not going to work. She's like, that's not going to work. And she said if she did, she would be brushing her teeth 40 times a day. So the problem with these kinds of well-intentioned suggestions, brush your teeth, take a bubble bath, go on a walk, all of those things, it doesn't take into consideration that this eating is to resolve an emotional conflict. So the wish to protect yourself from painful emotions is far more powerful than having a fresh, clean mouth. So here are some more effective distractions, okay? Make a new best friend. Dogs are man's and women's best friends for a reason. Not only do they provide companionship, there are studies that prove that animals and pets can actually significantly lower your stress levels. In fact, owning a dog or cat can even reduce your risk of a heart attack. That's how powerful it is to have a pet. So even if you don't have a pet in your home, you can reap the benefits of having a pet, because you can do volunteer work for a shelter. You can go to the Humane Society or different shelters, and you can walk the dogs or play with them. You can puppy sit your friends' dogs, whatever. There's something so powerful and calming about having this bundle of love there with you. And that's a great way to distract from your pain and to also feel better. Another distraction is to get into the reading zone. Reading transports you to a different world, takes you away from the difficulties of reality. Reading is to the mind what exercise is to the body. The benefits of reading are mental stimulation, stress reduction, knowledge learning, and increased focus. Oh, however, one caveat, do not read magazines. No magazines, because all of those images of thin, buff, photoshopped models who are often, you know, like 16 years old or younger, and even they don't look like they look in the magazine, that can be really triggering, and you can feel bad about yourself. I always recommend going on a magazine diet, right? Don't read magazines for a month. Don't even look at magazines, or don't look at anything that has to do with like celebrities or they're talking about weight loss and all of that. Don't do it for a month, and after a month, you'll be so surprised how much better you feel. by the way, anyone who would like to join me, excuse me, I just breathed in the wrong way. Please feel free to join me. The number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Okay. All right. Nothing like having a coughing fit while you're doing your radio show. I think I'm okay. Okay, so here's another way to escape real life. Escape real life with real life, R-E-E-L. So similar to reading, when you watch a TV show or a movie, you enter another reality, and that means you escape your reality. And this is far healthier than going into that binge zone. But it accomplishes the same thing. I think comedies and escapist movies are definitely the best choices because laughing also has a positive impact on your mood and stress levels. I mean, there is a reason that people say laughter is good medicine. It really is. Laughter positively affects your body in all kinds of ways. Okay. Next distraction. And you can do this while watching TV or a movie. Knit or crochet. Because the repetitive motion of knitting and crocheting activates the part of your brain that calms the fight or flight or freeze response to anxiety. So knitting and crocheting are ways that you can calm down when you're upset. It actually has a brain reaction. As your both hands are moving or whatever, your brain is reacting in a way that's going to make you feel very calm very quickly. Plus, you get a feeling of accomplishment and you add to your wardrobe. You might have more scarves than you ever need. Another thing to do is to do a crossword puzzle or Sudoku. Crosswords, these kinds of games reduce stress, increase mental flexibility, improve problem-solving skills. Because by focusing on the crossword puzzle, your mind is not focused on what is bothering you so much. Your mind is not going, I can't believe my boss, you know, didn't give me that raise. Or I can't believe my husband or my wife did X, Y, or Z. Or, oh my God, my kids are driving me crazy. And I feel so guilty because I love my kids, but they're driving me crazy. Right? All of whatever is going on in your life, or you're worried about health or someone that you love, or whatever it is that's going on in your life that's painful or scary or difficult, you're not focused on that when you're focused on the puzzle. So it provides an escape that is much healthier than whatever's in the fridge or the pantry or the drive-thru. Similarly, other kinds of ideas are finding a scrapbook. Scrapbooking helps you focus. Growing a garden. Again, gardening has been scientifically proven to provide more stress relief than a lot of other activities because it's calming, it's relaxing, it gives you sort of an inner peace feeling. So whether you have a patio garden, a balcony garden, or a huge backyard garden, gardening connects you to yourself, to nature, and to the cycle of life, and it's very zen. Also, connect online. Online games or online forums are good for you. They give you something to do. They increase your brain function if you're playing games in the areas of memory or logic or reasoning or cognition. And then they offer a chance for you to connect with people all over the world. In fact, I know someone who met her husband on, what is it called? Words with Friends or something like that. Kind of a Scrabble-like game. I've never played it, but she played it and he was playing it and they ended up connecting offline and now they're married. So there you have it. You never know. You just never know. So if you're shy or you have some social anxiety, online games and online forums provide a really safe way to practice connecting with other people. Here's some more. Okay. Visualization. When life is challenging, it can be helpful to imagine a positive outcome or a future in which something is going well. If life is not so rosy, it can help you to imagine how you're going to respond to a difficult situation. So instead of saying, oh my God, I've got to go in and ask my boss for the raise. I don't want to do it. She's going to be mad at me. I'm so scared. I'm so nervous. Where's the ice cream? You can go, okay, my boss is going to be, I got to go in. My boss is going to be mad at me. How am I going to deal with that? And then you imagine it. You imagine going in. You imagine making the request. You imagine how your boss might react. You imagine how you would react to her reactions. And there you feel more empowered and more prepared. And that way, when you actually go and do it, you're gonna be going and asking whatever it is, or communicate, if you have to communicate to someone something you don't like, you're gonna be doing it from a stronger place, and you're gonna be more solidly with yourself and less scared. So visualization gives you hope for a different future. The next one is to get cozy for someone is calling my phone. Okay. The next one is to get cozy for 7 minutes. I'm getting a message that my calls are not going through. So I'm not getting any calls on the board. So I am so sorry. If you're trying to call, you know, maybe try again. Was working with Nicole, so I don't know why it's not working. Sorry, you guys. I've been having technical issues. And Ronan's not here today. Oh. Hi there. You're on with Dr. Nina. Is this Nick?
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Nick. How are you?
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, just hanging in there.
Yeah, but I wanted to say that I guess I'm addicted to TV. I watch a lot of TV, and I think about things that are not going on for me, and I don't read the magazines and this and that. I'm more of a TV addict.
Well, what do you mean by that? Because you could say that and say, you know, someone might think, oh, Nick is a TV addict. He watches 10 hours of TV a day, when you could actually mean you watch like 2 hours of TV a day. So when you say you're a TV addict, what do you mean?
You know,
is it a bad thing?
I would say about 3 hours a day I watch TV. And a lot of it is the news, which aggravates me.
Well,
and,
yeah. I'm just looking up how much how much TV does the average American watch? Let's see if you're average. But you watch news because you want to, so it's not so much about escapism, it's about wanting to know what's going on.
And escaping things and making, and you know, one thing that plus that's helped that I started walking.
Oh my God, wait a minute, wait, I just hold that thought. According to a Nielsen report, Nick, United States adults are watching 5 hours and 4 minutes of television per day on average.
Wow.
You're under average.
<Quite a bit.
laughs> You're way under average.
It's someplace I just go automatically. Like, you know, I'm having these problems with my kids, and it's still hanging out here. And I, you know, it gets me thinking about something else. And at some point, I think that I'm glad I'm not talking to my son, because it's easier that way, and it's not bothering me and irritating me. But it's just that I have these things that bother me, but I drift on TV. I drift, you know. There's a few TV programs I really like, and this, I watch the news and this and that, all to get, I think, you know, get rid of me thinking that, oh, I gained some weight. What am I supposed to do? How do I do it? I mean, all these issues that go on.
Nick, can I just reconstruct what you just said? So you talked about not. You're not talking to your son right now. Then you talked about watching TV so that you won't think about the fact that you gained weight. But could thoughts about gaining weight be a distraction from feelings about your son? So you could have mixed feelings. A part of you can say, wow, I'm so glad that I have cut my son off because he is so horrible to me, and he's so, you know, you've talked before about how he's really just rude and not nice, and it's unacceptable. So part of you can say, yes, I feel really good that I did that. And another part of you can simultaneously feel bad about it, or think, did I do the right thing? You know, or, you know, is this my fault? Or even if you know it's not, you could have all kinds of mixed feelings. And having mixed feelings is hard. It's a lot easier to go, oh, I weigh too much. What do I do about it? Does that resonate?
Yes. Yes, that definitely does. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what the solution is, if there is one. I'm running away from my son, being happy, not dealing with him. It's just a strange feeling, but it takes it away. It really does. The TV takes it away, thinking about my son.
Well, so you're saying that the TV is a distraction, right? But ultimately,
yes.
Ultimately, you have to deal with your anger and hurt towards your son.
Yeah.
And
that's for sure.
That so, you may not be able to change the situation. You may not be able to change your son. You may not be able to say the magic word which makes him wake up and go, oh, you know, I'm going to relate to you in a completely different way now, Dad. But you can't do that. You can't change the situation. But we don't feel our feelings to change the situation. We feel we express our feelings so we feel differently about the situation. So the only thing to do is to get into that sense of betrayal, anger, hurt, or whatever, and really feel it.
I have a question for you. Knowing my situation with my son and so on, is it a possibility if I get a psychologist and the two of us go together? Would that accomplish anything?
I don't know, but it's worth a try. You know, I think that that if your son is willing to go, that is that would be hopeful. But even if he went, he might have the agenda of trying to get the therapist to kind of side with him. And right, you just don't know. It's possible that it could help, but just someone going to therapy doesn't mean they really want to change and look and examine their own part in whatever's going on. Some people go hoping to get confirmation of their side. So it's hard to tell, but it's worth a try.
Yeah, I might just do that. And actually, my daughter called me and about a gift and so on. And then she got into it and she was saying that she would recommend that Ryan and I go someplace and you know, talk to a therapist to get it out. And I'm just saying, you know, I know how strongly I feel about the situation. So I know that I can't get beat up and walk away and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that, da 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 da, because I feel so strongly about what's going on. So that's why I'm thinking maybe it's a good idea. Who knows? A few times, this or that. And
I think it's a good idea. And if you email me, I can give you, I know that you're in the LA area, so I can give you some recommendations.
That would be wonderful.
I'm happy to do so.
Okay.
It's always worth
Thank
a shot.
Thank you very much.
It's all, okay, but how are you before you go, how are you going to, instead of distracting from these feelings, how are you going to express them? Like, why don't you express them, one feeling right now about your son? Express it. Nothing like putting you on the spot, right, Nick? But
yeah.
If you just, Express it. How does it feel when you think about him and how he's treating you?
I'm very unhappy, and the things that, he sends me messages that are so terrible and disgraceful and hateful. Again, I mean, I rather, in a sense, I'd rather not talk to him because he's so, so mean.
So it's very painful.
I don't know if that answered your question or not, or put it on the spot, but he, terrible. It's just terrible a person can be like that. Someone I loved and had fun growing up. We did all these things together, and all of a sudden he's turned into a monster.
Wow.
And making me feel so badly that I block it out that I'm glad I'm not dealing with him, because when I think of it, it's so hateful. I don't know how to deal with him. That's all.
There's dealing with him, and I think the therapist idea is certainly worth a shot, but there's no guarantee based on what you've told me about him. I don't know if it's going to be helpful or not, but it's worth trying. But there's how you feel. There's how you feel, and that's what needs your attention. Not what the scale says, but how you feel. And it's very painful, bewildering, upsetting, enraging to be treated in a hateful way by your son or anyone.
Right. Thank you. I definitely think I'm going to get a psychologist and see what that stands, but I'm not insecure about it. I'm not insecure. I'm very secure about the meeting with the psychologist. So I feel good about that. And feeling, like you said, know what I feel like, but I feel I'm so, I actually doing right, but so hateful. I got to do something. I can't live like this.
Right. Okay. Well, so, maybe it would be good for you, too, to go see a psychologist. So email me at dr.nina@drninainc.com. And I will give you some names, because it's not about just going to a therapist. It's finding the right one. So I can help you with
exactly.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'm so sorry, Nick.
All right. It's going to work out.
Yes.
No one just has to.
It will.
So we'll find out. I keep you posted.
Okay.
On how it's working.
All right. Please
thank
do.
You.
All right. Bye for now.
Hi.
Oh, you can see how poor Nick, he's turning on himself and talking about gaining weight is just a way to distract from how the weight, what's weighing on him, right? How painful that is. It's crushing, and family relationships are so hard sometimes. Just one last comment about all of these sort of strategies to both express and distract from feelings. Remember that practice makes progress. Not perfect. Practice makes progress. Change is not as simple as flipping a switch. It takes time to implement a new way of responding to your emotions. Nobody ever sat down at a piano and played a concerto right away. It takes practice before you're competent. So, you don't decide to... You don't decide to just run a marathon and then go out and run 26 miles. You run 1 mile and then another and another, and you build up to the marathon. So our minds and brains are capable of tremendous change. Only it takes time. So the more that you practice, the better you get, the easier it will get to implement this new way of thinking, being, and eating. And that's how you make peace with food for good, by making peace with yourself, by changing the way you think and feel. That will change the way you act. Okay, so that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am so glad to spend this hour with you. If you'd like more food for thought, check out my website, drninainc.com, and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Dr. Nina Inc. Be sure to sign up for my free guides and giveaways so you'll be the first to know about some exciting things I've got coming up in January. Again, thanks for joining me, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.